Morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in. I know that we had been promoting and advertising that we were going to be joined by Wayne County Sheriff Mike Everett. He could not be here today, called away on pressing family business. So in his stead, thank heavens, Andy Milner has shown up to take his place. How you doing this morning, Andy?
Doing great, Bruce. Doing great.
Andy, I don't think I've ever had you just one-on-one here on this show, have I? I've had you in here before.
I think I've been here one-on-one before.
Have we been here one-on-one? I guess that might be right. Tell folks who you are and how long you've been a chief deputy and deputy and a policeman and all that kind of stuff.
I'm Andy Milner. I'm born and raised here in Fairfield.
What year did you graduate?
93.
So you're in the same class with Brian Hucker and Scott Foster,
Scotty, and
Jason Edgington,
yep,
Mark Black, Jamie Hodges. How in the world did your teachers put up with all you people?
I don't know what medications they may have had at that point, but
you know, that's the thing. Growing up in that class. And I'm familiar with several of the folks in that class because of family involvement. That was one of the wilder classes that went through. I mean, if you look over the course of FCHS, like for every 10 years, you can think of a wild class. Like, for instance, 1984 could be considered a relatively wild class.
Yeah. The thing about that, the class of 93, I think with maybe some of the ones you mentioned, they weren't that crazy while at school.
Oh, is that right?
Maybe they were recovering
it
there.
Followed.
Resting up.
I see. I see. My point being, that trained you well to understand what maybe the teenage mind might be going as you're having to do a little policing with kids, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, past experience is always very helpful in a lot of the things that we do.
When did you become a policeman?
In 2003.
What'd you do before that? I'm trying to remember.
I worked out at web printing for about 5 years.
Okay.
And then before that, worked out in Colorado Springs for a while. Lived with my mom lived out there.
What did you do in Colorado Springs?
My mom owned a few restaurants in Colorado Springs, little French bakery cafes.
Nice.
My parents had divorced when I was at a young age.
Yeah.
Mom moved out there and started the restaurant business. And for summers, as long as I can remember back till I was 8, 9 years old, myself and my brothers and sister grew up working in the restaurants out there in the summertime.
Do you know how to bake?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really? What's your best thing? What's the best thing you bake?
As far as baking, you know, I baked bread for the restaurant every night. We would go in after the restaurant would close, bake through the night to have fresh French bread for not only our restaurants, but at one time probably had 50, 60 wholesale customers in Colorado Springs.
Is that right?
Yeah.
She's still out there?
No. She has since moved back when we started having kids.
Yeah.
My wife and I. She came back for a visit and started throwing the grandkids at her. And I think it finally worked in Giltner to move back here. She's moved back here as remarried Dwayne Gwaltney from here in Fairfield, and they live down in Golconda now.
How could you when's the last time you baked bread professionally? Not professionally, but as a...
The last time I baked bread was professionally.
So you haven't baked any bread at all since then?
I haven't baked any bread since then.
No kidding.
Yeah.
What's the... were you good at it? I guess you had that many customers.
Yeah.
Can you do it on a single level? Or if you're baking bread, do you only know how to make bread from like a gigantic dough recipe?
Exactly. A mass recipe was all I ever dealt with.
Is that right?
And in doing the conversions back down, it would take a lot of trial and error. And we even made mistakes with the big batches back then.
Yeah, you'd accidentally throw an extra cup of sugar,
flour, water, salt, and yeast. was what it was. And every once in a while, someone would forget to put the salt in.
Yeah.
So it was a bad batch. So you would have pounds and pounds of dough you would have to throw out. So you hoped you were gone in the morning, but before the guy who emptied the dumpster showed up. Because the yeast would still let it rise, and it'd be pouring out of the dumpster.
Oh, no. See, now, that's an entertaining story. And see, just to be walking down the street, all right, you see, this is Andy's restaurant. You're walking down the street, you see the gigantic blob of dough coming out of the dumpster back in the back. I guess you didn't think that's what you were going to do back in the day. You didn't think that's what you were going to do forever and ever. You didn't like the restaurant business?
I really liked the restaurant business. I liked.
You see, now you know why I'm asking you about that.
Well, that might be the beginnings of.
Yeah, because we're going to talk a little bit later on in the show here about Andy's restaurant picking abilities.
But I love the restaurant part of it. I love providing that service to people, the social part of it, too. I met so many interesting people. One example, though, working in the restaurant one summer, I was working up at the counter at the time, and in walks Dr. Workins.
In Colorado?
In Colorado Springs. He walked
just
in.
Just on vacation. Well, actually, wouldn't have been working there. He's retired and running around somewhere.
Yep. And I refused him service. Because I knew who he was right off the bat, and he didn't exactly recognize me at first.
What'd you say? I'm sorry, we don't serve Illinois people
here.
Yep,
I'm sorry, sir. You're gonna have to leave the premises. But you meet people like that all the time.
What was his reaction to that?
Very surprised and dumbfounded at first, obviously. But I met a lot of neat people, especially in Colorado Springs. There's so many people from so many countries and stuff there. The Olympic Training Center is there.
Yeah, yeah.
So you always have different people in and out, and you get to talk to a lot of different people in the restaurants.
Wholesaling, when you're making the bread, how much were you making every day?
I couldn't tell you.
You weren't shipping it, right? They were coming to pick it up? Or
we delivered it.
You did deliver it.
We delivered it to, like I said, a lot of different restaurants and customers and stuff in the Colorado Springs area. Mm-hmm. And we would ship it, via the mail too, if people ordered different things.
No kidding. Did you make pizza dough too?
No. We just made French bread. Baguettes, Parisiennes, ficelle, bread rolls, sourdough, raisin pecan. And then we also did croissants.
That's what I was going to ask next.
And pastries.
How do you make a good croissant? I guess you
lots of butter. Lots of butter and layers.
I bet you had no idea you were going to talk about bread out here this morning.
That's what's great about your show.
I had no idea either, but this is fascinating to me. It really is. How many restaurants do you think if you had 50 wholesalers and you were probably serving what was the farthest you think your bread went? Because, there'd have to be a time factor involved on how far it could go.
Right. I think it went up to Castle Rock, Colorado, which is part of the way between Colorado Springs and Denver.
Do you ever think that having lived – how long did you live in Colorado, 3 or 4 years?
After I left Carbondale, went to out there for 2 years.
Did you ever think that – or I probably never even considered the fact that marijuana would be legal out there for recreational use. Did you ever think?
No.
You never thought it here or anywhere, I guess.
Out there, I think it may have unofficially been.
Unofficially, yeah. It's been a while since I've been in Colorado, but you occasionally do smell some odd things. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
That may not have to do with baking.
Well, I'd got an education on that. When I lived out there, I went to a Blues Traveler concert at Red Rocks.
Okay, yeah.
And
I suspect that would. I suspect you went from eighth grade level education all the way to graduate school.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And to learn the devices they could make to ingest marijuana at that time was.
I got the same.
An education.
I got the same thing with my sophomore year in college. I had a roommate who was an enthusiast, and there were four of us, and I had no idea that you could use a beer can that way.
That's one of the things
I saw. That I said, "What are you doing?"
An apple.
Just crazy. Yeah. I'm talking here with Andy Milner. We're gonna talk a little bit more about. more police work, and probably also talk about maybe the K2 epidemic and all that kind of stuff that you were seeing a lot of around here in Fairfield and in Wayne County. I've got Chief Deputy of Wayne County, Andy Milner, joining the show, and we'll be back here after this word on the Bruce Dickey Show. You're listening on AM 1390 and WFIW 104.9 FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Back after these. Folks, welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM, Fairfield, Illinois. I'm talking with Wayne County Chief Deputy Andy Milner, and we've been talking about a variety of things, mainly baking, actually. It's just kind of unusual. you started out, became a deputy back when?
2003, I hired in.
What made you decide to do that?
Growing up here, it was something that I knew I could do to help serve the community, and you know, that's a blanket answer.
You know, you talk about part of your job when you were out in Colorado and when you were back here was the working with people.
Oh, absolutely.
And yeah. and that right now is still a gigantic part of the job. Yes. Of being a policeman.
Yes, it is. Absolutely, it is. Communicating with the public is the biggest part of this job. And this may be a little sappy, but what really made me want to be a police officer from a young age was...
Starsky and Hutch.
No.
Beretta.
It wasn't even TV related. We were talking about working out in Colorado. Yeah. For my mother during the summers. One summer, I had worked all summer to save enough money to buy a particular bike I wanted.
Okay.
Bicycle.
Yeah.
And I bought it.
Okay.
You know, had it shipped home.
Sure.
While here, it got stolen from our house.
Oh, no.
And
during fair week?
No. No, it was not.
You've heard I have issues about the fair.
Yes.
I figured you did. Okay, go ahead.
I think the seed might have been planted then.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
You know, like any kid, you know, having worked so hard to get something you really wanted and have it taken away from you.
Did you ever find it?
No. No.
So basic, what, did you name it Rosebud? We're talking to Andy Milner about his main life's pain. This morning, so I'm glad we could both laugh about it.
It may be where the red fern grows.
Yeah, there you go. I got it now. I see what you're saying. Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. Okay, you became a deputy in 2003, and you've been in it for 12 years of that.
No, I took a hiatus there for a little bit. I worked as a deputy for 3 years.
Did you go up to D.C., as I recall? That's right.
Yep. Went to work up at Walmart, D.C. for 4 years.
Yeah.
And then when
realized
Mike...
you didn't want to work in that factory anymore.
Well, it didn't take 4 years to realize that. And Mike, when he decided he was going to run for sheriff, he called me and asked me if I would be interested in coming back as his chief deputy, and I said, absolutely.
As chief deputy, what are now? Granted, you don't do as much patrolling, I guess, as
no,
you ever used
no,
to
I
do.
Don't.
Do you do some though? I mean,
every once in a while,
do you get out? That is kind of the social aspect of the job, getting mm-hmm. out there and making sure you're able to talk to folks,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and usually that's at eating establishments or where other folks will gather as well. You can get more people in one spot.
I feel terrible. I asked Andy during the commercial break, how come all he does is talk about food. How come he doesn't weigh 800 pounds?
It's just half that.
There you go. All right. So for the most part, though, you're mainly administrative, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I help Mike run the day-to-day operations of running the sheriff's office and the jail.
Yeah.
Trying to keep the courthouse in order and everything like that. You know, everything from.
By the way, thank you very much. I did have power in the bandstand.
Oh, did you?
On Saturday night. I know that you and Mike are responsible for that. I do appreciate that.
Yeah. Look, did you need heat or anything else like that?
That would have been nice, but I had power. That's all that I cared about. And somebody left there's an extension cord up there, too. Okay. I guess they use that from time to time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, we're still working on the kegerator. So.
Well, aren't we all? okay, so...
So I came back in 2010
uh-huh.
when Mike took office, and I've been chief.
It's been a lot of fun, hasn't it? Learning, was there a pretty good learning curve starting out?
Yes. I mean, it was no longer the job that I
had
knew before.
It was different from what you left,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. From the patrol side to the administrative side where I am now, two totally different things, you know, I don't go out and patrol like I
sure.
did before. You know, the guys, I don't know the names like the guys on the road do,
yeah.
like I did back in the past. You know,
yeah.
you mentioned somebody, oh, yeah, I know where they are, where they live, who they're hanging out with.
And they're probably working right now or
right.
something, yeah.
You know, I can tell you where we order razors for the inmates
right.
and who gives me the best price.
You can tell me the way to get to the correctional facilities.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Because you're part of your job probably also mm-hmm. to help haul folks around, right?
Yeah, I did that yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Oh, really?
Took one to Hillsboro to Graham Correctional Center.
Okay. Now, where's the best food then? I'll get to that later. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. Let's talk a little bit about it. We were kind of having fun with marijuana talk and medicinal marijuana in Colorado, but there's some serious business here in Southern Illinois right now with the K2 coming back. At least in Wayne County, it seems like that there's with kids passing out and stuff.
It's been here, Bruce. I mean, this isn't new. A few incidents here recently have brought it back
and, to mind.
Yeah. To the public, but we deal with this on a pretty regular basis. I don't know if the recent incidents have been part of a new bad batch of product coming out. The thing is,
it's illegal in Illinois, right?
The different chemical compounds is what is illegal, but what they do is they change the compound molecularly so that it doesn't go against what is illegal.
So it's not. So it's technically not illegal.
Some of it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want the public to know is, for the ones who have some sense, they know that it's not for human consumption. You don't know what is in this stuff.
What's it for? If it's not for human consumption.
Oh, it's incense or it's. You know, some of it is listed as jewelry cleaner. Or
See,
stuff
now
like
that's
that.
The amazing thing to me is mm-hmm. That the people have started ingesting bath salts of all things, and
yeah.
that and with the people are ingesting chemicals that they ought to know better.
Yeah, if you saw them on an individual basis, you would think there is no way I'm swallowing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or ingesting that, putting that into my body,
yeah.
you know, and that goes all the way down, it runs the gamut, you know, down through meth
right.
and stuff glue, like that.
For that matter.
You know, you're not going to sit there and drink a bottle of drain cleaner.
No.
But that's one of the ingredients in making the product that these people are ingesting.
That's amazing.
You know, and be it the lithium, the drain cleaner, the, you know, all of it. It's just nasty and just eats your body up.
That's another thing. If somebody ever pops their hood.
Yeah.
Open the battery. Look at the battery acid in there. There's a lot of, you know, there's lithium all over the place. It's a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's got great uses.
Yes.
But not to be ingested. And it surprises me that people do have that.
You know, and that's it. Like I said, you know, for most of the people listening, you know, this probably isn't an issue. But for those who would be ingesting this stuff, the K2 and things, if we joke a lot about things here on the show.
Sure.
But this is not.
It's serious business.
Yes, it is. You know, we've had several people almost die here recently.
It was surprising to me in listening to the news reports, and correct me if I'm wrong or if I took them wrong, that occasionally when these folks are going to get treatment at the emergency rooms and things like that, they're really the folks at the emergency rooms are having difficulty treating them in that they just kind of have to let the poisons basically run their course because there's nothing they can do.
Yeah.
Other than treat symptoms, right?
Right, right. I don't know that they have any specific treatment for trying to bring them off of it or anything like that other than to have it run its course. They would know better than that.
Sure.
You know, than I would. But I just know, you know, it's dangerous, it's ugly, and I'm afraid it's going to take, you know, even worse incidents than what we've already had.
Yeah, we haven't
which
had
have
anybody,
been, which have been bad.
Haven't had anybody die in Wayne County from something like this,
no.
To our knowledge.
And I hate that it may come to that before some people realize that this isn't to be messed with.
Wow.
You know?
It's just a crazy thing. Well, you know, and that brings up, you can look back last, what was it, February, whenever you guys hit the one in Wayne City, and it brings to mind how much heroin there is around.
Right.
Now. And did it surprise you the totals that you ran into whenever you broke that down?
At that particular one, it did, because we had been dealing with smaller quantities here and there. We knew it had made its way here finally. You know, we'd been waiting for it. It had made its way from the Metro East. Mm-hmm. To the Centralia area, and usually we tend to follow after Centralia.
Does it ever come the other direction from like Evansville?
Sometimes it does. The heroin part of it, I think, was coming more from the west.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, that one, that particular bus there, that was the eye opener that it's here full throttle
opened
now.
Everybody's eyes,
you know.
I would think. How much was there on there, as I recall?
I can't remember several. In particular. There was a lot of capsules.
Yeah,
a lot of the capsules, which is how they package that heroin up.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So what do? They break that down after the.
They had the little like gel caps.
This was like at the distributor level.
Yeah.
As opposed to the retailer level.
Right.
For I'm serious. For those of us who come from a business background and don't know how this works, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing, too.
But, you know, I hate it that especially in a small area like this, that it usually takes something horrible as someone passing away or anything to open the eyes. You know, if that's what it takes to get somebody to change.
It's too late for that.
Exactly. But if in the end it does help someone, you know, I hope that is the case.
When somebody does come across, like a couple of weeks ago or last week, when they had people passed out in their driveway.
Yeah.
What do folks need to do if they see somebody? I mean, because that could have happened to anybody.
Yeah. Call us immediately. And
call you.
And that's what they did. They called 911, and they were able to dispatch us up there, the ambulances. Were there when the deputies got on scene. I think at least one of the ambulances, if not all three, were there.
Oh, was that right?
Yeah.
And they were all three taken by ambulance, weren't they, as I recall?
Yes.
That's just astonishing to me still. And how much training do you have? Do you guys continually undergo different training for, like, for the different all different drugs that are entering the area and that kind of thing?
Yeah, they'll hold, you know, especially if it's a hot topic, you know, they'll try to have a training on something.
The state?
It's through our mobile training units,
which
is funded through the Sheriff's Association and everything like that, which at this point now has basically been put on hold because our funding.
Everything's held up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the state budget crisis and all that, a lot of our training like that is being put on hold. Wow. And if they don't get something figured out real quick, that program may not come back.
Well, that's
and
the thing. You've got trainers that are
absolutely
that are probably waiting to get back to work.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, the mobile training unit hires other people to come in and train as well.
Sure.
You know, to do the training. And right now they can't do that. You know, so all of us in law enforcement as a whole are suffering from the, you know, this is just one of the things from the state budget deal.
What's the biggest thing from the state budget deal affecting you, you think?
Right now, just that particular thing. That's the only real thing that's affecting us directly right now.
That's just they'll don't you think they'll get it figured out? I think I ask every one of my guests. I got to tell you, I mean, I might be talking to some people that have no idea. And I think I ask them, do you think the state's ever going to get this thing figured out?
I hope so.
talking to Wayne County Chief Deputy Andy Milner, and we're talking about various items. Let's talk about the jail. What's the are we going to have a Merry Christmas at the jail? How big's the crowd?
Yeah. Right now, I think it was 22 this morning, I think.
Moving people in and out, I guess.
Yeah,
because there have been a few arrests lately that have been pretty high profile.
Yeah, we had the population dropping down there for a week or a week and a half, and then, bam, it popped right back up. And
with holidays, you just had a Thanksgiving pass. Did you have a bigger crowd for Thanksgiving? Folks want to stay in?
Well, it's funny. Our business tends to go up at Thanksgiving and Christmas, and then it dwindles down at New Year's. I think Thanksgiving and Christmas, people are forced to be with family members maybe that they don't get along with, or Uncle Bob and Uncle Richard.
Uncle Bob and Uncle Rich don't get along.
Yeah.
I see.
You know, yeah. And then, you know, by the time New Year's comes around, they're hanging out with friends and people that they all like. So
I got to tell you, I have never looked at it from that perspective, but that does make a lot of sense, and it really brings my own family into focus a little bit more.
Like I said, do I need to reserve a spot?
No, that's okay. That's fine. If you're listening to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM Fairfield, I've got Wayne County Chief Deputy Andy Milner. We'll talk a little bit more when we return here after these words. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in today. My guest is Andy Milner. He's the Wayne County Chief Deputy. He's standing in for Mike Everett's annual, probably monthly, monthly turn at the microphone. I'm sitting here thinking, we have talked just me and you before on this, haven't we?
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yes, it has.
And I feel rude having forgotten that.
No, so, no. Like I said, it happens very rarely because Mike is always eager to come and
Mike likes to talk. Have you noticed?
Yeah, he's very fitting for his position.
Well, I see. Now, that probably makes a lot of sense. We were talking about the jail and how full it is. How are things going with you're on mainly the administrative side of it. Mm-hmm. How are things going with the building down there? It's got a little age on it now.
It does. We're right now kind of, I think it's reached that point where now things have to start being replaced. Uh-huh. We've successfully had
a
couple
grants.
Of things. Yeah. We had our new fire panel and, alarm system replaced here recently, and it's been great. I'm trying to think of what our next big project is. Our doors and stuff in the jail, our control panel and stuff like that.
How's the computer being able to get all your documentation into conversion going?
A slow, ongoing
is that still
process?
Going?
Yeah. I mean, it's better now. A lot more of our stuff we can just search off the computer, with it being all located on a server and everything like that. But we just have so much more information that needs to get on there.
Is that documents that go in or just the information off the documents?
It's the documents.
So you basically you're pulling up a document from like 1995 or something that has been scanned in.
Mm-hmm.
Who did all that? Did you have a group?
It's a company
in Springfield,
from
right?
Springfield that did. I can't tell you the name right offhand. I'm sure Mike can tell you. But yeah, that's who did all that. My secretary Linda will love it once all of it is taken care of. That's one of her jobs that she gets to take part in is, hey, we need this record from such and such year. Yeah. We think
she
maybe in this ballpark
yeah.
of dates, and start the search.
Oh, that sounds like just it becomes not drudgery, but just like finding a needle in a haystack.
Sometimes that's exactly what it is, so.
Well, I'll be doggone. Like I said, talking with Andy about things going on down at the Sheriff's Department, we were talking about you guys go through annual training. Even though you're not really so much on the street, you still go through all the training with the guys, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, we qualify with our firearms, be it our handguns or rifles.
You get the cooler out and go down and
No. No, alcohol and firearms do not mix.
That's correct. That's correct. But with tasers, you get the cooler out.
That's just for the water, I think.
Oh, I see.
Water and tasers.
Tell me about training with tasers. How does that work? Because, I can understand. All right, now, I can see training. You have targets and stuff with guns, with pistols, and you get scored on that. With a taser, it doesn't seem like it matters where you shoot all that much. Does it matter where you pop somebody with a taser?
Oh, absolutely.
Does it?
Yeah, and they'll shoot, like, silhouettes.
Oh, really? Okay.
When you're shooting the taser, to make sure you're getting the more spread you get between the two probes that are fired out of a taser, because these are projectiles that come out of the taser,
and they're still attached to the taser actually with wires.
Little wires. Mm-hmm.
How far do those go?
25 feet.
Okay.
You can buy them for different distances.
Okay.
15, 25, 35. But obviously, the farther away they are, the less accurate they are.
I see.
Plus, the way they're designed. As they shoot out, they start to separate, and the more separation you get with both of those probes hitting your target, the more effective the taser will be.
Really? So
you're passing that electrical current across a lot longer.
So if it's if you got one hitting somebody in a shoulder and the other probe hitting them down by the hip.
On a thigh or something. Yeah, that's making the current go from one point to the other, and that electricity is locking all that up. It just locks it all up.
Really?
If you just have like a stun gun part, which you can use that part of the taser as well, where you just drive stun with it.
And that's hand to body.
Yes.
As opposed to firing.
That's just one specific area that you're immobilizing.
How often do you guys go through taser training?
Once a year.
Do you do that the same? Mm-hmm. Have there been since 2003, when did you have tasers back then your first time around?
No, we didn't have.
But when you came back in
when
10,
I came
they were
back,
in.
They were here, yeah.
Huh. Huh. What happens if only one of them pops somebody? Is that a miss?
Yeah. Yeah.
So since if only one probe hits somebody, it's not really making a connection with anybody,
right.
with anything.
Right. Yeah, not very effective.
Huh.
So that's why, you know, they do shoot at a target and make sure that, you know, they're making good contact.
All right, I got to ask a question then. I guess it, when you're talking about a widespread, mm-hmm. it makes me think, I think about a sawed-off shotgun or shotguns. Mm-hmm. Where the spread, if you know, you have the shorter barrel,
yeah.
the shorter barrel makes the wider spread.
Right.
Do they do that on tasers too? I mean, do they have barrels on tasers?
No.
I didn't think so. No. This is just distance that causes the spread.
Yep.
And wind,
yeah.
presumably?
Yeah, wind would have an effect on it. But yeah, it's just a little small cartridge that contains the wires and the probes. The probes are just straightened out fish hooks for the most part. And, you know, they'll shoot out. They've got a they'll propel themselves out.
And the ones you have in your hand, the ones you're carrying in your hand, mm-hmm. how many different loads do you have in that? Because, I mean, it's a projectile that's going to separate out and put the hook in. Mm-hmm. Granted, folks may think, why are you asking these stupid questions? Because I just don't know.
For future reference, how many times is he going to get me?
How many times can he tase me? I mean, how many do you have in one load?
In one cartridge, you just have one set. And once, if those make contact, you just leave them in until you have that subject in cuffs.
Well, the reason
because you can keep, you could re-administer the tase again.
Well, you see, that's what
just to pull the trigger.
That's what I was wondering in that you have, you know, you'll hear folks get tased like 5-10 times mm-hmm. before they are
cooperative.
Cooperative, yeah. And I didn't realize this. Okay, is somebody having to reload and pop them again?
No.
Or are they just doing it off the same?
Off the same thing.
Off the same probes?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
That's interesting.
And that information is recorded within the unit as well, and you can download to see, you know,
so
if the trigger was pulled.
That's how folks know exactly, oh, we tased him 5 times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you're in the middle of a scrum, mm-hmm. you may not realize how many times. Because you're not tasing somebody unless it's serious business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, there are no trigger locks as far as locking them on.
So well, yeah.
You want to make sure that, you know, you're only administering what you need.
Wow, that's pretty good. Okay, that brings us to food. How'd you cook your turkey this year?
Deep fried. I thought that was the only way you were supposed to do it.
Well, now you see you can smoke them or roast them too.
I don't care. I don't know that I care to ever eat a baked turkey again. I don't know if that's bad, but we've done deep fried turkeys for so long, and they're just.
Well, you see, now I was trying to. You realize I was trying to draw the comparison between the tasing
of the turkey.
The turkey. Have you ever tried to tase a turkey?
No, I haven't.
I guess you would. It wouldn't really tell would it cook. It wouldn't cook the surface. I guess.
I think we sent a lot of people to the hospital if we would have cooked it that way. I don't think it had cooked all the way through.
The middle might not be. Yeah, I got. All right, I get you now. But Andy is the food expert. You know, that's the thing. Sheriff Everett thinks he's the food guy up there
because he comes
on here and he starts bragging and talking about how he knows all these places and that kind of stuff. And then when you actually ask him where he gets his information, oh, Andy told me. Andy tells me. Andy told me that this place. Andy's been searching this stuff out. Give me a recommendation. All right, you went to Hillsboro yesterday.
Went to Hillsboro yesterday.
Did you find anything of interest?
Yeah, I mean, there's a little go-to place in Vandalia. I know Mike has mentioned it before. Willie's in Vandalia.
Uh-huh. They got the Reubens Burgers?
Used to be the Reubens. Yeah. Yesterday I tried something I hadn't tried there before, and it was the funnel cake fries.
Funnel cake fries.
So, Jenny, if you're listening, or any of the other people who do all the carnivals and that kind of food, the funnel cake fries, they look like
French fries,
long cigarettes almost is what the length and the uh-huh. they were round and served in like a little fry basket with
how
powdered sugar on it.
And, how many did you get on in a serving?
It was a small order, and there were probably 15, 20 of those fries in there, and served with powdered sugar on top. And I'm
so
sure
you don't put ketchup on that.
No, no. And I'm sure if you wanted to serve them with like a chocolate sauce or something like that,
this was
to
dessert.
Dip them in.
I'm presuming this was dessert yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
How were they?
Oh, great, great, and not messy at all.
Really?
Like eating a funnel cake?
Yeah. See, you eat a funnel cake. You've got to have one hand wide open the whole time,
holding the plate. It at all.
So yeah, your left hand is out of commission.
Yep.
As you're holding the plate, mm-hmm. and then the powdered sugar's going everywhere.
Everywhere. It's all over your plate. Your right hand is now covered with
right
it.
Hand's
from
covered.
Trying to tear pieces off. Your face has got it on it. You know, and then you're dancing around because it was too hot when you took a bite.
That's exactly right. So now what you're saying is the funnel cake fries have basically defeated the mess of powdered sugar being everywhere because you can put powdered sugar on one end.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Or a dipping sauce of any kind. We're coming up with all kinds of things here, Bruce.
That's brilliant. All right, let's think about this. You had them. I'm going to Vandalia soon. What's the what are the different dipping sauces you'd think could be good at that? I mean, could you do a strawberry dipping sauce?
Do a little cream cheese dipping sauce, like a frosting type thing, maybe.
So Jenny,
I think we're both getting bigger just talking about it, Bruce.
I like your idea of making sure Jenny was listening.
Yeah. let's see, another place. I like Nisbet. You've probably been over there.
I've been to Nisbet a few times. What's your favorite thing in Nisbet? They've got the
rib meat gumbo. Rib meat gumbo.
They say that's what I was going to say.
That's what I like over there. They're also, I don't know if it's self-proclaimed or if there's actual proof, they have the world's coldest beverages there as well.
I think it's probably just a proclamation. Oh, okay. I'm not sure that that's been, that they've got a record with that.
I thought if it was in print, it was true.
No, that's if a radio personality says it, Andy, that's when you realize that something like that is true. Well, Andy, the time's just flown by. I appreciate you coming out here. Anytime
no
Mike can't make it, just hop on out, all right?
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
You betcha. And that's Andy Milner, Chief Deputy of the Wayne County Sheriff's Department. If you need to get a hold of the Sheriff's Department, you can call
842-6631 or 911 if you really need us.
911 if you really need them, and right now. That's Bruce Dickey's show for today. Thanks, folks, for listening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.